as John was saying.
Genius in France. He gave us large marge.
That's just, I don't even know what you're, I have no idea what you're talking about.
If you'd watch Pee Wee's Big Adventure, you'd catch up a little. It's a good movie.
It doesn't matter. The quality of his work isn't dependent on whether it's
Now what? Watch. Now he had to reset again.
Just stay up there.
I finally got all those emails that I couldn't receive from anybody because they were in the spam filter. All right. So Bloom is on this. Bloom is spam.
Well, we knew that. Reset your PRAM.
What?
Nothing.
Computer joke.
We are studying in Ecclesiastes 8, and we have been talking about be not hasty to go out of his sight. And we talked yesterday about what that meant, and we referred to Proverbs 3. And so let's go there a minute.
Did we have a little party when we got to Ecclesiastes 8 out of 7?
Called Tavern.
We're going to get shirts.
I made Ecclesiastes 7.
Verse 11, my son, despise not the chastening of the Lord, neither be weary of his correction. For whom the Lord loveth, he correcteth, even as a father, the son in whom he delighteth. Now, in the first part of the verse, despise not the chastening of the Lord, neither be weary of his correction. It's an interesting word. The word for weary there is spurn. And it means don't spurn his correction. Now, what does spurn mean? Ignore, reject, move away from, hide.
With attitude, place yourself above.
So this then gives incredible meaning to what this difference between what man does when something happens that he doesn't like or when he needs something, or as opposed to what faith does. Man has to spurn his correction. That's all your mind is hardwired to do unless you've seen the emptiness and futility of the mind. You will, without thought, without anything, and this, you will spurn his correction because you don't believe it's his correction. Because you don't believe that, hear, O Lord, the Lord our God is one. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one. We think that there are other gods. And the evidence that we leave his correction, I mean, the fact that we leave his correction, or we spurn it, or we faint from it, is the evidence that we of our own idolatry. Now this then gets to the core of the issue. What?
Well, I just had this very conversation coming back from coffee about we want a God that we can manipulate and make him do our bidding. And
remember,
if he doesn't, what good is he? You know, let's find another God who will give us what we want. As opposed to seeing him as all and in all and submitting to that.
Remember that thing that we, God, whatever we call it, God stuff thing, is it? It's what his message to his church is, O evil and perverse generation, have I been so long in your midst and you've perceived me not? Have I not met your needs in a thousand ways and you've been blind? When I speak to you, you do not hear. You behave not as sons and daughters, but as strangers. You hold meetings in my name, and you give honor to men, but not to me. You boast that you serve me, but in truth you serve your own ego. Then it goes on, it's like you're playing with him as a puppet on a string.
Yeah. But
And so this, and this cements it, what we're about to read. The word for correction is tokiha, or something like that. I wish I could pronounce these words. And it's this, it's the term for the scriptural passages containing the curse. And they may not be divided when read. They must be read by one person, and they must not be divided. And so the reason that you don't spurn is because then you're dividing the correction, or you're dividing the chastisement, or you're dividing the discipleship by interjection of your trip to the mountain. Do you capture this a minute? The verses that have the name Tokiha are Leviticus 26, 14 to 45, and Deuteronomy 28, 15 to 68. The Mishnah refers to them as the chapters of curses. And they were to be read, I didn't know this until just now, they were to be read on all fast days. And they must be read by one person, and they must be read without interruption.
Without taking a breath.
Wait. No, without that kind of thing right there.
Yeah.
There's a perfect, without,
comment.
Huh?
Without some smart ass.
Yeah.
In other words, this curl from the back of the room.
This is like,
shard of brick.
Instead of being curses, they're correction.
Right.
Which is a whole different kind of a way to look at it. Which,
well.
It's like, and those are pretty bad, as I
remember. They're very bad. We're going to read them. Deuteronomy is considered more severe since it contains no verses of consolation. And it is in the present tense, in grammatically. Now,
this which, by the way, since you've been cutting Sunday nights, we've not studied any of the consolations.
We've been studying them in our Bible study.
We haven't been studying them. I haven't heard any of them.
What last thing are you going to do?
Now, in latter times, in times of apostasy, this is great. Only the poor people read the curses because they couldn't give money, even. In order to ensure that their name wasn't called out, because it was considered like the really, really worst thing that could happen to you if you were as called out to read the curses. It would be like somebody's picking on you.
So if you give money, they won't pick
you. Right, if you gave money.
It's kind of like indulgences.
Yeah, it is. It's a Hebrew, it's Jewish indulgences.
It's a Tetzel thing.
The public readings generated fear among the listeners. There's several great stories about it. There's one guy. When he got the curses, he didn't like. He sort of muttered them. And Rabbi Huna called out, "My son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord." So let's. You can read the Leviticus ones in your own time. We're going to read the Deuteronomy ones.
The worst ones.
The worst ones. Remember, they are in the present tense, in grammatically. Deuteronomy 28.
This is what I'm doing. I'm doing this or something.
Deuteronomy 28. Good God, that's a long chapter.
Oh, yeah.
We may have to divide it up. Verse 14, it starts in 15, but the blessings of obedience are verse 1 through verse 14.
Let's do those.
There's lots more of these.
My son, despise not thou the chastening. And these were, remember the two mountains that they had to go, never mind, I won't go through there. This was Mount Ebal and Gerizim or whatever it was. And they one went to the other. Okay, well, that's what this represents. These. It shall come to, in verse 15, it shall come to pass, if thou wilt not hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe to do all his commandments and his statutes, which I command thee this day, that all these curses shall come upon thee and overtake thee. Cursed shall thou be in the city, and cursed shall thou be in the field. Cursed shall be thy basket and thy store. Cursed shall be the fruit of thy body and the fruit of thy land, the increase of thine kine and the flocks of thy sheep. Cursed shall thou be when thou comest in, and cursed shall thou be when thou goest out. The Lord shall send upon thee cursing, vexation, and rebuke, and all that thou settest thine hand for to do, until thou be destroyed, and until thou perish quickly, because of the wickedness of thy doings, whereby thou hast forsaken me. The Lord shall make the pestilence cleave unto thee, and until he have consumed thee from off the land, whither thou goest to possess it. And the Lord shall smite thee with a consumption, and with a fever, and with an inflammation, and with an extreme burning, and with the sword, and with blasting, and with mildew. And they shall pursue thee until thou perish. And thy heaven that is over thy head shall be brass, and the earth that is under thee shall be as iron. The Lord shall make the rain of thy land powder and dust. From heaven shall it come down upon thee until thou be destroyed. The Lord shall cause thee to be smitten before thine enemies. Thou shalt go out one way against them, and flee seven ways before them, and shall be removed into all the kingdoms of the earth. And thy carcass shall be meat unto all fowls of the air, and unto the beasts of the earth, and no man shall fray them away, or shoo them away. The Lord will smite thee with the botch of Egypt, and with the emrods, and with the scab, and with the itch, and whereof thou cannot be healed. The Lord shall smite thee with madness and blindness and astonishment of heart, and thou shalt grope at noonday as the blind gropeth in darkness. And thou shalt not prosper in thy ways, and thou shalt only be oppressed and spoiled evermore, and no man shall save thee. Thou shalt betroth a wife, and another man shall lie with her. Thou shalt build a house, and thou shalt not dwell therein. Thou shalt plant a vineyard, and shalt not gather the grapes thereof. Thine ox shall be slain before thine eye, and thou shalt not eat thereof. Thine ass shall be violently taken away from before thy face, and shall not be restored to thee. Thy sheep shall be given unto thine enemies, and thou shalt have none to rescue them. Thy sons and thy daughters shall be given unto another people, and thine eyes shall look and fail with longing for them all the day long, and there shall be no might in thine hand. The fruit of thy land and all thy labors shall a nation which thou knowest not eat up, and thou shalt be only oppressed and crushed always, so that thou shalt be mad for the sight of thine eyes, which thou shalt see. The Lord shall smite thee in the knees and in the legs with a sore botch that cannot be healed, from the sole of thy foot unto the top of thy head. The Lord shall bring thee and thy king, which thou shalt set over thee, unto a nation which neither thou nor thy fathers have known, and there shalt thou serve other gods, wood and stone. And thou shalt become an astonishment, a proverb, and a byword among all the nations whither thou shalt lead thee. Thou shalt carry much seed out into the field, and shalt gather but little in, for the locust shall consume it. Thou shalt plant vineyards and dress them, but shalt neither drink of the wine nor gather the grapes, for the worms shall eat them. Thou shalt have olive trees throughout all thy coast, but thou shalt not anoint thyself with oil, for thine olives shall cast its fruit. Thou shalt beget sons and daughters, and thou shalt not enjoy them, for they shall go into captivity. All thy trees and the fruit of thy land shall the locust consume. The stranger that is within thee shall get up above thee very high, and thou shalt come down very low. He shall lend to thee, and thou shalt not lend to him. He shall be the head, and thou shalt be the tail. Moreover, all these curses shall come upon thee, and shall pursue thee, and overtake thee, till thou be destroyed, because thou hearken not unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to keep his commandment and his statutes which he commanded thee. And they shall be upon thee for a sign and for a wonder, and upon thy seed forever, because thou servest not the Lord thy God with joyfulness and with gladness of heart, for the abundance of all things. Therefore shalt thou serve thine enemies, which the Lord shall send against thee, in hunger and in thirst, in nakedness and in want of all things. And he shall put a yoke of iron upon thy neck until he have destroyed thee. Thou, the Lord shall bring a nation against thee from afar and from the end of the earth, as swift as the eagle flieth, a nation whose tongue thou shalt not understand, a nation of fierce countenance, which shall not regard the person of the old, nor show favor to the young. But he shall eat the fruit of thy cattle and the fruit of thy land until it be destroyed, which also shall not leave thee either corn, nor wine, nor oil, or the increase of thine kine, or flocks, or thy sheep, until he have destroyed thee. And he shall besiege thee in all thy gates, until thy high and fenced walls come down wherein thou trustest, throughout all thy land. And he shall besiege thee in all thy gates throughout all the land which the Lord thy God hath given thee. And thou shalt eat the fruit of thine own body, the flesh of thy sons and daughters, which the Lord thy God hath given thee in the siege and in the straitness wherewith thine enemy shall distress thee, so that the man that is tender among you and very delicate, his eye shall be evil towards his brother and toward the wife of his bosom and toward the remnant of his children which he shall leave, so that he will not give to any of them of the flesh of his children whom he shall eat, because he hath nothing left him in the siege and in the straitness wherewith thine enemy shall distress thee in all thy gates. The tender and delicate woman among you, which would not venture to set the sole of her foot upon the ground for delicateness and tenderness, her eyes shall be evil toward her husband, toward the husband of her bosom, and toward her son, and toward her daughter, and toward her young one that cometh from between her feet, and toward her children which she shall bear, for she shall eat them for want of all things secretly in the siege and in the straitness wherewith thine enemy shall distress thee in thy gates. If thou wilt not observe to do all the words of this law that are written in this book, that thou mayest fear this glorious and fearful name, the Lord thy God, then the Lord will make thy plagues wonderful, and thy plagues of thy seed even great plagues, and of long continuance, and sore sickness, and of long continuance. Moreover, he will bring upon thee all the diseases of Egypt which thou wast afraid of, and they shall cleave unto thee. Also every sickness and every plague which is not written in the book of this law, them will the Lord bring upon thee until they be destroyed. And you shall be left few in number, whereas you were as the stars of heaven for multitude, because thou wouldest not obey the voice of the Lord thy God. And it shall come to pass that as the Lord rejoiced over you to do good and to multiply you, so the Lord will rejoice over you to destroy you and to bring you to naught. And you shall be plucked from off the land whither thou goest to possess it. And the Lord shall scatter thee among all people, from the one end of the earth even unto the other, and there shalt thou serve other gods, which neither thou nor thy fathers have known, even wood and stone. And among these nations shalt thou find no ease, neither shalt the sole of thy foot have rest. But the Lord shall give thee there a trembling heart, and a failing of eyes, and a sorrow of mind. And thy life shall hang in doubt before thee, and thou shalt fear day and night, and it shall have none assurance of thy life. In the morning shalt thou say, Would God it were even. And at even thou shalt say, Would God it were morning. For the fear of thine heart wherewith thou shalt fear, and for the sight of thine eyes which thou shalt see. And the Lord shall bring thee into Egypt again with ships, by the way of I spake unto thee. And thou shalt see it no more again. And there you shall be sold into your enemies for bondmen and bondwomen, and no man shall buy you.
The It's like the curse of the law talked about. It was an actual curse there.
Can you understand why the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom? The beginning of wisdom is not the wisdom of man. So it's critical. Because, and it takes this kind of a thing, because we are so used to self-realization. We can't conceive that this thing that's happening to us is not about you. Whatever it is. It's about seeing whether you will continue with him in his test. And he alone is the residence of the love of God. He alone has perfected you forever. He alone is the head and not the tail. But it doesn't look like that, because we say, where's the evidence of his presence? And it's in the smallest details of your life that you do this. It's in the secret places of your thoughts. It defines the worship of which God you're believing in, and which God you're serving. So, my son or my child, be not hasty to go out of his sight. Don't leave his correction or his discipline or his discipleship for the sake of a moment of pleasure, for the sake of a moment of eating. Anybody else? Any response? Do you think this is just
God? The one that really resonated with me was, thou shalt be continually afraid and say, would in the morning, would that it were even in the evening, would that it were morning. I've lived that. I know that.
Now, what does this mean, though? The curses are to your identity. You got to see it, not just to Adam, to Gary, to Oli. They're to the flesh.
Right, that is it.
They already happened because we're already dead. No. So you already, this is why, once you can comprehend the meaning of what happened when man fell, you can say till hell freezes over, I don't believe in the fall of Adam. Well, nobody much cares what you believe. The only thing, if you really look at it, if you really look honestly at this book, the only thing that we can empirically prove is that the curse really did happen, because we can prove the fallenness of the human race. It's all around us. But can you see what we do when we say that? And again, it's this theology that all of us want to believe, the success theology, that we believe that the residence, the place of God's love is me. Therefore, we may not say it, but we secretly desire and want, the king's kid. We try to get to the, this is what the plagues were supposed to make us aware of before, when we were still in the world. The plagues came. We were born in the world, and we did our best to get to the land of Goshen. We tried to do the best we could to be as successful as we could in whatever we chose. We If you look at those curses, that's what happened. The plagues revealed the curses. They weren't there to punish Pharaoh or Egypt. They were there to show his people that they had accepted the gods and value systems of the world as theirs. And that's what we've done. Anybody else?
I'm wondering about what you just said about the curse of being empirical.
The fallenness is empirical. Well, it's again, maybe we're using the only evidence.
We die. That's one
thing. The big evidence is that we die. The second evidence is open your eyes. The man has fallen. And God is mocking us and mocking all our attempts to prove that, to show that he is. I mean, that's all he's doing.
That's a lot more faith or religion than it is empirical knowledge, isn't it?
I don't think so. We had this discussion once before.
You and I did?
Mm-hmm.
I have a hard time with that one.
I know. For everybody else, if they were honest. You can't prove this book. I'm talking about the Bible. The only thing you can prove with this Bible is the fallenness of mankind. That was the statement I made. You can't. It's not a history book. It's not an archaeological book. It's not a moral book. It's not an ethics book. It's a book that defines and shows us the fallenness of mankind. It speaks to that part of us that we truly know deep down within us. When we get to the place of indivisibility, where there's no fairy tales, there's no made-up religions. And I think you can't prove, huh?
This is kind of why confession is so intrinsic to connecting with God. Without confession, i.e., really gut level, here's what I am and what I'm about, then you're going about in your delusion of who you are. But confession is when you face reality, and that reality is your fallenness, not somebody else's fallenness, yours.
And this whole thing, Rabbi Gambus says of Proverbs 11, it says, despise not the chastening. Do not feign in your mind by your imagination as the chastening of, as though you despised it. And the predicate of this, someone go to Psalm 91:15 and read it. Also, and the other thing is, everybody is tempted in the midst of these. And this is is what it actually says. It says, also, when in the midst of reading passages containing the woes, do not give a benediction, because God himself is the author of the woes. What we all want to do when we're reading, if you really, what your mind wants to do, is you know, wait a minute. I want to think of something.
You interrupt them and say, this one doesn't apply to me.
Yeah.
I see it, and that's why you don't interrupt them. You want to get the full impact of what it's saying about if you don't follow every single particularity of what's been laid out in this world, this is the consequences. And it's to strike that knock you off center, so you will begin to see the fear of God.
And so you will begin to see that your life is Christ.
Yeah.
That it isn't about you.
And there's no other way.
You can believe, as I've said so often, every generation, I believe, if they didn't have a belief in reincarnation, they would invent one. Because they've got to have a way in your mind of sustaining something.
There's something about me that's good, that's going to...
And I'm going to improve. So really, while it... All that ever, I mean, that reincarnation is spiritual Darwinianism. But we believe in spiritual Darwinianism or spiritual evolution because we believe we're getting better. And you know that because you hear these words like, well, that person's been here 40 years and they should understand this. No, it doesn't have anything to do with that. It's either... Huh?
That's what we hear from you.
I know. It doesn't have anything to do with that. It is either on or off. It is either light or darkness. It isn't linear. It isn't getting better with time. Can you grab that? You're not getting any better. You're never going to get any better. You're either in him or out of him. You're on the mercy seat and the judgment seat. Now, the judgment seat, because of the mercy of God, you can go for years believing, thinking you're believing in, that you're even sitting on the mercy seat. I pray everybody understands a little bit. Kevin? You're pondering.
I was, as you were reading the curses, I was thinking of the scripture that says everyone that hangeth on the tree is cursed.
Amen. Yeah, cursed is everyone that hangeth on the tree.
The curses as it cries.
Amen.
Suffering, yeah. The curses.
Amen.
And if we want to leave the cross and come back and try and do stuff and all that, everything we talked about, then that's why it's important to read these, because then you're faced with that.
On the other end of the story, it reminds me of, what is it that's being said in the story of Eden, in the story of temptation? I mean, the first chastening was, don't eat that fruit. That was the first, oh, I don't like that. Oh, there must be a way around that. Oh, that's not, it doesn't really mean that. I can do this. It was the first, and there's no, and it shows the way we work. There's no awareness of the unlimited supply. The only awareness becomes of, you can't have this. Talk about an archetype.
Just reading that curse in 2:17 of Genesis, that, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day thou eatest, therefore thou shalt surely die. The thing about these curses you read is like, die doesn't mean click, the lights are out. Die means these curses, every part of you is destroyed, one part after another,
that's
surely dying.
It's implied in the Hebrew when you translate that you shall surely die. It's in dying you are dead.
Yeah. Dead.
And so that's again, the human race died at the cross. But we have resurrected. We have. Something has resurrected us.
I was thinking about on the Mount of Transfiguration when they talked to Jesus about his death. It's like that wasn't a simple conversation. That had to be pretty intense.
It's also, I think, interesting that we call them, we have a word, curse, that we apply to these things. Yet, if I say to the boys at lunch, if you step off the top of the tallest building downtown, you're going to fall down, hit the sidewalk, and die. That's not a curse. This is the result of that action. And that everything we read this morning is this is what is. This is what you bring to yourself. This is what you step into.
when you leave the Lord.
Remember that first part of the Lord's Prayer. Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. And if you know, the meanings of hallowed become, it's like they're, you can say, well, it's blah, 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 blah. But it really means at the core, it means where you're not thankful for anything. I mean, if anything happens in which you have become a victim or you think somebody is wrong, you're not hallowing his name whenever there is anything other than gratitude. And so that's a biggie. And the only way you can see that mystery of grace and mercy and live in gratitude and therefore hallow his name is by seeing that Christ is your life. Otherwise, you're subject to every little nook and thing that comes down the pike. Remember that the real meaning of blessed, both in Hebrew and in Greek, it's Barak in Hebrew and Makarios in Greek. It means not subject to the fates. And because they, you know, all the cultures believed in these mischievous fates that were always trying to get you.
You live in fear.
Or, you know, anything. But there is no part of you, and the only way you cannot be subject to the fates. I mean, when as it is applied back then, what that meant was dead. Because the meaning of it's spend some time studying what the fates meant back then. And it's, you know, there was these little impish things that just mess with you all the time. Like Harry believes, the large print giveth and the small print taketh away. That's what he used to. Or waiting for the other shoe to drop. Well, we're not subject to any of that. Because being blessed means not subject to any of the fates or any of the circumstances. Instead of being cursed going in and cursed going out, you are blessed going in and blessed going out. So only that. Because of that, all things work together for good. And therefore, to them that love the Lord, to them who are the called according to his purpose. In order to be the called, you have had to present yourself as a living sacrifice. And the process we call sanctification is to find out, you know, the thing, the salts and the salt shakers. So you, no matter what it looks like, no matter what it appears to be doing, you're always sanctified. You're always... It's always, you're never in any other condition other than blessed. Amen?
Amen.
Take it, big guy.
Yeah.
20 minutes? In the office, in my office.
Okay.
You didn't tell her?